cliffcentral.com. 360 Biz on cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to another amazing episode. Episode, so funny that I call it episode. The thing is, I'm busy shooting a new entrepreneurial show, so I'm used to this episode vibe. But welcome to another beautiful show, 360 Biz. My boy Teboho is, my co-host Teboho is not in today. I mean, he's out, you know, he's an entrepreneur. This is an entrepreneurial show after all. But I've got two amazing guests in studio today that are just going to be shedding light on the different financial programs that they get up to and they offer, I mean, to the general public and also to entrepreneurs. Because, I mean, one clear thing that we know is that finance is one of the most critical and crucial things with regards to building a business and building a sustainable business, because you need finance to both fund the growth of your business and also to be able to turn around quotes and turn around orders that are there. And, I mean, the one true thing that we all know is that cash flow is sanity more than anything. So, I mean, profits, I forgot how the saying goes. I think profit is vanity. I think these financial experts who are in studio can shed more light with regards to that conversation. I mean, we've got an amazing gentleman here from Cyper. I'd like to give him the opportunity now for him to just introduce himself and greet the listeners out there.
Ebolelani, I'm Bongani Coka, the Chief Executive of South African Institute of Professional Accountants.
You know, I almost made a mistake. when I read it, I thought it was Coca. I want to say Twang.
No, that's an American version. I'm African.
No, it's very nice to meet you. Very nice to host you, sir, in the studio today.
Thank you.
Tell me, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, man.
Good. My name is Mohammed Rasivachela, and I'm a CEO of Makanda Finance.
Mohammed,
yes.
It's such an interesting name because, I mean, as much as I know, all the Mohammeds I know definitely are watching their money like no one's business. So it's definitely, I mean, just, you know, just to break the ice a little bit, just, you know, tell us, Ubanu Makanda, why the name Makanda more than anything?
Finance. Makanda is my grandfather's name, and the Makanda has a meaning as well. It means big.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, what do you guys typically do here?
Basically, what we do is that we issue loans, we issue payday loans. So you can loan from us, and everything you can do it on our website. You don't have to come to our office. So everything that's online, we have clients everywhere in the country.
So Mr. Bongani, like, what is Cyper? You know, it's such a cool name. I mean, you've got such a cool surname as well. I just need to add.
Thank you.
It acts as a double plug for us who like to twang and I want to know among sikas and I want to. But I mean, what do you guys do? What is Cyper?
Cyper, as indicated earlier on, is South African Institute of Professional Accountants. We are one of the leading accountancy institutes with more than 11,000 members, and our vision being to become the professional accountancy organization of choice. We want to ensure that our members get value and they stand out.
So, I mean, you know, when you talk about, and I mean, when you talk about having being one of the biggest association, how many of these accountants are entrepreneurs, according to your head figure? How many of them are entrepreneurs and how many of them are employed elsewhere?
The total membership of 11,000, I would say that a significant portion, around 70%, are entrepreneurs. They go out there and assist members in ensuring that they use our expertise in terms of preparing financial statements and they can understand how their businesses are run.
So, you know, one of the things that you touched on was professional accountants. I mean, in my layman head here, I mean, all I know is that an accountant is an accountant is an accountant.
Yes.
I mean, could you just maybe elaborate a little bit on that? I mean, in terms of the professional accountant essay, like what's the difference?
Yes, professional accountant essay is our designation as Cyper. And we are more than just bean counters. The kind of services we are providing is more than just preparation of financial statements. Our professional accountant is a business advisor. So over and above preparing financial statement, they advise. They tell you about how you should be running your business, things you are getting right, where you are battling. We are also able to assist an entrepreneur in terms of saying, this is the kind of business plan you should be having in place. This is the kind of revenue streams that are generating the most profits. We assist them in controlling their costs because the whole idea of having a business is to make profits. We also advise them on how they can go about increasing their revenue. And as accountants, we're also equipped with tax knowledge, so we're able to provide tax advice and indicate to them how they can run their business in a more tax-efficient manner.
So, I mean, Khrutmanyam, you know, one of the things that people would complain about from time to time, especially with micro-lending, is interest. And I think one of the questions I have in my head is, I mean, are interest regulated, or do you determine what they are for the different loan amounts that you're putting out there?
On our side, the interest rate, they are regulated with NCR, and as well we are registered with the MFSB as well, because we do investment as well. So we have to follow. We cannot just choose whatever the interest that we want. We have to follow what the NCR is required.
And I mean, in terms of interest as well, I mean, because you're an entrepreneur, obviously you're trying to be as profitable as possible with the different loan products that you have out there. I mean, how high can you go in terms of percentage in this particular space? Because, I mean, I've heard of guys, I mean, we had a gentleman here a few weeks ago who spoke about he knew someone in that space. I mean, he was pushing up to 60-70% in terms of interest, because what he was saying
60%.
Was that, yeah, what he was saying was, wow. I mean, he was telling us, an uneducated people, and what he was saying is that because of the fact that it's not as regulated, that kind of stuff, and it's a supply and demand, maybe elaborate, educate us, because you see, I think it threw us.
I think on my side, if you're not really following the law, what says you, eventually you're going to end up to get into trouble, because on our side, we have to follow the law, what exactly the law is saying. If you're not, for me, I think if you're not reading to, if you're not seeing the bigger picture of what you want to, if you want to build your business to go big, you need to follow the law. If you're not looking to grow your business that big, then I think that's how you're going to follow it. But I think you have to follow the law.
And I mean, you know, and then, I mean, in terms of percentage, I mean, how high can one really go in terms of loanable amounts?
I think we are doing payday lending. Maximum it's 5%, but of course there's a service fee, there's initiation fee, that if you have to round it off can go up to 20% to 23%.
So I mean, it's the second time now you're speaking about the payday lending. Please educate payday some lending. Me and some of the listeners out
okay,
there.
Okay, payday lending means that you take a loan today, you pay your loan when you get your salary.
Oh, okay.
So it's a once-off loan. It's not a long-term loan.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's a payday
loan. And then, I mean, have you guys found entrepreneurs flocking to... Because, I mean, entrepreneurs predominantly, some of them, we don't even have payslips to a certain degree, especially the startups and some SMMEs. Yeah. And, I mean, have you had entrepreneurs coming to you, or have you guys maybe... Do you guys have a secret product somewhere where you know this is for entrepreneurs?
Correct. Yes, we do have that. We have another product that will help the youth, because we know that they are really trying to start something, but they don't have any payslip, any of those requirements. That so what we do is that we really look on their business model, and then thereafter we advise them on what we can actually start helping them on.
Nice. So, Mr. Bongani, you know, in every single sector in business, there are challenges. With some of the SMME accountants which are on your which are part of your organization, what are some of the challenges that you know of that they come across? Because, I mean, we as entrepreneurs as well can get very difficult, whether it be payments or understanding of income statements and balance sheets. What are some of the challenges that you have found on the ground?
Yes, I'll start by, even before going to those that they encounter around accounting issues, I'll touch upon research that has been made over time, which indicates that one of the key challenges facing our SMME is a cash flow issue, access to finance, access to market, and competencies that are required to run the businesses that they are running. You find that some of them don't even have the business competencies, and hence they struggle and end up failing.
Yeah. And then, I mean, do you find that, I mean, you spoke about, you know, your particular organization or the accountants in that organization don't just do your books, but they also then give you financial advice. Do you find that you guys spend more time offering financial advice, or rather financial education, because of this particular problem?
Yes, that's the value part, because financial statements are telling a story. So we want a business owner to understand the story behind their business so that they can run their business better.
So, I mean, do you know who is SAIPA open to? I mean, can any accountant out there just call you guys up? Who's got some, anyone who owns an accounting company or anyone who's an accountant, just join the association? Or what are the certain credentials that one needs to have?
Yes, if you have an accounting background and you are at a bookkeeper level, we can help in accrediting you as an accounting technician. On the other hand, if you have the relevant practical experience plus a BCom accounting qualification from accredited institution, we can assist you to go through our board exam to qualify as an accountant.
Oh, okay. And then, I mean, this particular assistance, I mean, would it come at a cost or is it as part of the membership?
There are two options. One is where you can pay the full amount of the training as well as certification. And on the other hand, we have partnered with Facet. Facet is looking at the transformation of the finance sector, particularly with us with regard to ensuring that we have more black accountants, because what is worrying is that 22 years into democracy, the accountants that we have and that are black are not representative of the demographics. So Facet funds our training of the black students. They also fund their traveling as well as examination.
Yeah. And then, I mean, what are some of the common mistakes that you guys come across with regards to SMMEs managing their finance internally?
Yeah, the problem is that there's always a confusion. I think you touched upon that earlier on cash being king. At times they confuse profitability with money they have in the bank. And then the other instances you find that they confuse gross income with net profit. So it's very important that even as a professional accountant that you properly educate the owner of the business to interpret the numbers properly and make the appropriate decisions.
And then, I mean, Mohammed, man, Yes. You're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about financial literacy here, being able to understand income statements and balance sheets. I want to put you in the spotlight. Do you understand some of these terms that...
No, I do. I do understand. And what he has said is actually they're very important. Sometimes people get confused of what they are receiving as a turnover monthly. They actually, because that's not their money. Their money is what they are making as profit. Because an example, if I'm going to loan a person maybe 1,000 and the repayment is 1,200, the 200, that's my money. The 1,000 is not my money. Because if I eat that money, I'm killing the business. So what he's talking actually makes sense.
So, I mean, you know, I'm sitting here curious, obviously, you know, thinking to myself, of all the different businesses that you could have gone into,
Yeah. Why
this particular... sector.
Okay, let me tell you a bit of a story, should I?
Feel
what
free,
happened is that in 2010, I remember I was still in school in my first year in college. So I was going, I think I was walking down the street with my brother. And then my brother told me that I used to do, back in high school, I used to do small business, like selling sweets and stuff like that. So he told me this idea is like, okay, Mo, why don't you start a business of lending people money? This was 2010 before the World Cup. It was May. So when he told me that, I didn't have any money. So actually, I had a friend of mine who borrowed me about 1,500. So that's how I started the business. So there was a need and I started the business. Thereafter, the business grew and then, yeah.
And then, I mean, what have you done really from that initial need that you saw to equip yourself as an entrepreneur so that you build a formidable and fortified business?
I think right now is that what I can say is that the business has grown very big compared to where it started to up to now. So I think also in terms of challenge, the challenges are different compared to the way it was before and the way it is now. Yeah.
You know, I just want to, you know, probe some of the challenge. What are some of the challenges that you are facing as a growing enterprise? Because I know some of the challenges that I'm going through, of which I'll share with you as an entrepreneur myself. Yeah.
Okay, on our side, as Makanda Finance is growing, the challenge that we face, because I believe that as a running company and as an entrepreneur, every year there are different challenges. And every year they get bigger as the company grow. If you don't get challenged in your business, it means that your business has stopped growing. So what happened is that the challenge that we're facing right now is growth. There's so much growth in a way that we cannot keep up. So the growth has grown so much because if I have to just say the number, last year it was about maybe 3-5 turnover. Right now, we're talking about 7 to 8 million rand. So it's way big compared to last year. So the numbers has grown too big, where responsibilities. So yeah, I think.
So I mean, you know, and I think in one of the, I think on your website or somewhere, we were reading there that you guys can, that you can invest from a minimum of amount of about 100 rand a month via debit order. I mean, what is that particular option about?
Okay, how we came with that product, because the company started with 1,500.
Okay.
So the demand grew. So what I needed is that try to approach government institutions and stuff like that. Government are not really interested to help this kind of business or any other business that I know of. So what happened is that what I did was I had to think, sit down and think and come with up with an idea that can help the business to grow. So what I did was, I remember by then, is that I had to approach anyone, because anyone can afford 100 rand a month. So I tell them that, okay, invest in me and then I give you back with interest. So the product has grown in a way that now that's what's, it's picking up the business on a monthly basis, yes.
So, I mean, this particular investment, I mean, what would possibly be the returns of such an investment or the investment period?
Right now, I remember back in the days it was way high interest, but right now we have actually checked what the law is allowing us to give as interest. So right now you're talking about, if I could check, I remember it was about 1.2 interest per month. So if you're going to invest with us, maybe let's say 100 rand, you get at the end of the month about 1 rand and 20 cents. That's 1.2.
You know, very interesting, eh? Yep. Very interesting. I might take you up on that. Mr. Bongani, I want to ask you something.
Yes.
There's a lot of financial schemes floating around, and I think one of the ones that are out there right now is the MTN financial scheme. Yes. And I mean, being an individual, not to then say that you advise on shares, but I mean, what's your initial perception? I mean, I'll throw this your way as well. What's your initial perception about entrepreneurs? Because I've heard a few entrepreneurs talking about that could be a great opportunity and all this stuff, but they haven't really vetted it across, you know, experienced individuals who are seasoned. I'm speaking about, I think, the Zakhele Futhi shares, I mean,
yes,
share scheme.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Do you have any thoughts about that? Do you know anything about that?
Yes, I do. What you need to do is that when you consider investing, one of the things you need to do is to look at the returns in relation to a risk. So if at all the funding is coming from a reputable institution like MTN, then you can trust that whatever you invest today, you will be able to get your return in future. But there's also those instances where you get such a what looks like a very attractive option, only to find that that scheme collapses in a few months' time. So when you invest, look at the returns and look at the security of your investment.
So, Mr. Bongani, I mean, were you always an individual who loved accounting? You know, did you spend your days and school holidays counting money and saving piggy banks? I mean, how did you find this particular passion?
Yes, I think it found me. I didn't find it. It was by pure accident. I did natural sciences in high school. My ambition was to become a lecturer in physical science. But a year later, I found myself working in an environment where I was asked to be an internal auditor. So I realized that I'm at home with numbers doing the reconciliation. And I also realized that there's more to accounting than just preparing the financial statement. It can assist you to be a business advisor. And also the fact that accounting is one of those scarce skills. So if you look at a Department of Education document on scarce skills, it features high there. And there are subcategories.
Are you serious?
Yes, certainly. It's one of the very scarce skills. What I also like with the profession itself is the fact that economies that has got high number of accountants are economies that are doing well, because people who are running businesses are able to rely on the sound advice that they're getting in terms of where the business is going, what challenges is it having. Because when you have an accountant, it does not only tell you about the profit, but it can advise you on the form of financing your organization. It can advise you on the cash flow. It can tell you how to price your products, because at times you make losses because you are not costing your product properly. It can also assist you in terms of expense management, how you can bring your expenses down, and can also look at compare your organization with other organizations, because being in the profession also allows you to gain access to benchmarks, so your organization can be benchmarked against other organizations.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you know, one of the things that I want to pose out there, how important is it, not just for entrepreneurs, but as individuals, for us to invest our money?
There are two ways. I think maybe you've probably read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah.
So we can choose to spend all our lives chasing money, or we can start investing early so that money can work for us. And I think a wise man would opt for money working for us. So we need to properly educate our people, not just to be consumers, but to invest early and wisely. And then they will benefit those rewards later.
So, I mean, Mohammed, yes. I mean, in terms of the maximum amount that you guys offer is 10,000, right?
No, we have gone down right now.
Okay.
It's up to 3,000 rand.
Oh, it's up to 3,000 rand.
Yes.
And I mean, are there any circumstances whereby you would give anything more than that, or is it just a fixed 3,000?
3,000, it's a fixed. And then, we have other, as you said, we have other young entrepreneurs who need maybe about 10,000, 15,000 rand or 20,000. We do look into that sometimes, yes.
And then, I mean, where, as opposed to, you know, your bank, where they would have supporting products like your credit life and all that stuff in the event that the individual is no longer no more, do you guys have those kind of products to assist the individual with repayment of the debt should they be incapacitated?
Yes, for now we do have that. So usually what happens is that if any loan that is taken out, there's an insurance there. So if a person was deceased or whatsoever, the insurance pays us back the money. Yeah.
Oh, but now is this now an additional cost, or is it already worked into the already interest rate?
I think it's an additional cost, but it's a very small percent. It's like 1% on the total amount.
And then, I mean, you know, just, I mean, I think that one of the things that really differentiates us, before we go, I mean, onto a quick ad break, but I mean, one of the things that really differentiates us is being able to stand out in crowded spaces. But I mean, you know, with all the financial institutions that are out there, what makes Makhanda different?
I think what makes Makhanda different, like, I can say about what I've realized for 7 years running at Makhanda Finance, what I've realized is that what's actually important, especially teaching our black youth and like people in the location, is that about investment, like what my friend here say about investment. Investment is very important. So that's what makes Makhanda Finance actually unique. It's teaching the youth and anyone in the, whoever that is teaching them about investment, because anyone can be an investor. As long as you can make 100 rand in a month, you can be an investor. As any amount, you can be an investor. Yeah.
So, I mean, you
and,
know...
Sorry, just another thing to add is that... You say that what makes Makhanda different as well. On our side, what makes Makhanda different, just to add, is that we're an online microfinance. You don't have to come to our office.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't have to come to our office. You can sit right here and apply with your cell phone.
And then, I mean, wait, hold up. Who does the vetting then? Is it automated?
We have department in the office.
Oh, wow.
So when you do that, when you go to our website, maybe you want to apply for a loan, you apply, and then thereafter you're going to receive, as a new client, you're going to receive a document that we require. And then once you send them us those documents, we put them in the system, and then the system will actually advise us whether you're a good client, how many judgments you have, if you're under debt review. So it actually advises us on how much you should qualify for. Yeah.
You know, there's something you said, Mr. Bongani, I mean, and which really startled me. With so much finances moving around and us purchasing and exchanging monies all over the floor and all over the different spaces, work, home, business, and whatever, I would assume that accounting would be one of the sectors that would be flooded by people that are storming to that particular place. I mean, what, according to you, is making it a scarce sector?
Yeah, I have read the document issued by Department of Higher Education that indicates what the challenges are in terms of getting the right number of accountants. One of them, which is a serious constraint, is math skills.
Mm.
We need to ensure that at an early stage, our brothers and sisters appreciate the importance of mathematics, not math literacy. So we need to get as many of them to pass maths so that they can go into science stream as well as become accountants. The second one is the issue of funding, and I will not go deeper into that because it's evident with the fees must fall that one of the key challenges affecting a number of learners from entering into these tertiary institutions is the issue of funding. So if we can deal with the issue of funding and deal with the issue of maths, and then also work harder as a professional organization in terms of going to high schools and then sensitizing the learners about the importance of maths and the importance of accounting as a profession.
So, So join us after the break. So we're going to continue the discussion. Join us after the break as we chat to Mohammed. And listen, Makanda Finance is online right now. At a click of a button, you guys can get whatever loan that you want. But the limit or the cap there is 3,000 Rand. And I mean, like Mr. Bongani said, and I'd like to reiterate, it's not math literacy. It's math that you need to be studying. Join us after the break.
Thank you.
360 Biz on cliffcentral.com.
Not everyone who likes cars is a petrolhead. Some of us prefer the unmotoring side of cars. Yet we all spend so much time in these machines that they have become an extension of our personalities and reflect quite a bit about who we are and where we are in our life stages. On Auto Central, we understand this.
Make sure you're up to speed with all things motoring by tuning into Auto Central every Monday morning at 9 a.m. just after the Gareth Cliff Show, or download the podcast on autotrader.co.za. Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by
AutoTrader. 360 Biz. You see, I got that voice. You know that thing. You see, have you ever seen that meme? That honorable Mr. Saudi meme, that thing. Everyone knows about that. So, I mean, I think that, you know, as part of having that thing, I mean, as a growing, as an organization as big as Cyper, is, is an understanding. What are some of the affiliates that you guys have, and what is the importance of some of those affiliation?
Yes. So when we call you a professional with accreditation given by SAIC, you want to know what that means. What's the value thereof? So what is important to know about SAIPA, that it's one of the two accounting bodies in the country that are compliant with the International Federation of Accountants. So our qualification is at an international level. Last week, for an instance, I had an opportunity to meet our counterparts at international level, where we were able to exchange expertise, best practices. So what we have, we are able to share with our members. And we also belong to a body known as Pan-African Federation of Accountants, which is a continental body which strives to ensure that every economy within Africa has a professional body, and that eventually every professional body is IFAC compliant, so that we can keep those high standards. As said earlier on, there's a study that shows that economies that has high number of accountants thrive because of one simple thing, that accounting is about measurement. So you cannot influence or control what you do not measure.
That's very powerful. And I mean, you know, one of the clear things that are out there is that, and I've picked this up from quite a few entrepreneurs, is that SARS regulations keep changing and they keep growing. Some years they keep depleting this. I mean, how much of a challenge is this for entrepreneurs out there with regards to the different accountants that you guys have and the engagements with these SMMEs?
Yes, the beauty is that SARS has requested that we work as a body. So a month ago, we were having tax in Daba. So all the bodies that are regulated came together and were able to share challenges that we have as a professional body, and SARS was also able to share frustration that they may be having with us. So through those forums, we are able to articulate the challenges that our members are having with regard to SARS, and we are able to get the appropriate response or a commitment to make adjustment to make taxpayers more comfortable.
So I think, you know, I think as one of my parting shots, a question that I have is that, I mean, if I have an accountant and they're affiliated with you guys, if I feel like they're not offering me best practice, or they're not, I feel like they're not rendering a service to me that is on that level, can I come complain to you guys?
Certainly. Or? The whole idea of belonging to a body is to give recourse to the customer So we do get several complaints, and we do deal with them appropriately, which some of them would be ethical, some of them would be linked to competence, and we ensure that members as well as customers' complaints are resolved timeously.
And then, I mean, you know, with having organizations and having bodies, you normally do have a few strays. Do you guys have individuals that trade under the SAIPA umbrella but have no affiliation or membership or any such thing?
Well, it would not be SAIPA, but it would be a professional body.
Okay.
So you can choose as an accountant to belong to a professional body that is not internationally accredited. But what's important is that a business owner that is discerning may want to know what it means. They may want to poke into the accreditation that he may be having. So if they are found wanting and they realize that they would not have recourse should he not deliver, then they would only go to the bodies that are accredited.
Nice. So, I mean, you know, talking about the tax endeavor, you guys have got an endeavor coming up, the finance endeavor. I mean, what is it about? Who are you guys targeting? What's going to be happening there?
Yes, finance endeavor is an annual event. It's one of the biggest within the finance sector. So we have all role players in the finance sector, where we are able to learn about the new technology, new trends, best practices, as well as an opportunity to network. So when you walk away from finance in Daba, you walk away better off, being equipped either with new partners or new expertise that you can implement in your own environment.
Sure. So, I mean, is this just open to finance practitioner, or can a layman like me just show up?
A layman like you can show up. Then you can benefit and be persuaded in terms of the importance of the role that finance practitioners are playing. So I will also be presenting on Friday, and my focus would be around transformation of the profession. So I'll be sharing with the participants the program Achiever that we are partnering with Facet CETA, and sharing with them how they can contribute in the transformation of the profession.
So hopefully, I'd like to, I don't know if it's called nepotism, but I'd like to put out there that I'm guaranteed tickets because I'm going to shake you up after the show. So, my man Bongani, you know, how do you guarantee collection of your cash? Because, I mean, you know, money is something. I can't imagine of the countless times I've borrowed people money, but till this day.
The gentleman is Mohammed Ambongani.
Oh, after a while, you see, it's a numbers thing with me in my head. After a while, sitting there with the accountant, and yesterday I had training on this new application we're using at the office. After 4 hours, I think after 2 hours of training and we had a 4-hour session, I was already going crazy. Oh, apologies for that. Okay. Mohammed, my man.
Yeah. On our side, we have department for that. So if, let's say, your account get overdue, they handle that and they make arrangement with you.
So, I mean, you know, how disputes that people can lodge with the bank? I mean, because I know that on a few occasions I've gone to the bank and reversed certain debits that I didn't even know about from certain suppliers. But do you have people going under false claim to their banks? And I mean, it is that. So my question rather is a loaded one. But what I want to ask is that happening? And if that is happening, how is it affecting you as a business owner and as a company? And how is it also affecting the guys that are going back to the bank and reversing these?
I think how it's affecting the business, because it's not only affecting the microfinance, it's affecting the insurance company, all the company that's run debit orders. Because I think for me is that if a client knows he or she is taking a loan, or maybe has whatever the account that has to pay on a monthly basis via debit order, and goes to the bank and do a dispute on that, because the bank, what they do is that, at least I think the logic way is that the bank need to contact the firm or whatever the company is and confirm, does this person has this, or that this person has signed with you guys this. But I think the mistake that the bank does is that they just give you the paper and then you just sign it and then they just do it. They just don't confirm with anyone. And I think the effect that it's affect the client, because I know that when you do a dispute, you get whatever, your 1,000, 2,000 rand, you are happy. But that money, you're not going to do anything with it. But you have ruined your record, actually. Because when you do a dispute, it's actually effect on your bank statement. And it's going to affect you in the long run. Yeah.
So I mean, if it was up to you, how would you better regulate this particular process?
I think for me, I would advise that before a client goes and do a dispute is fine because there's a lot of fraud.
Yeah.
They shouldn't take out dispute, but at least they should confirm, the bank should confirm with the company that they are going to take out the money. Because if you are taking out the money in my company without my consent, you are stealing. So confirm with me first. Don't steal my money. Confirm, and then I will tell whether this is it. At least if you are going to need a certain agreement, I'll email it to you. Than for you to just take out the money, somebody's money, without their consent.
So, I mean, I find that to be particularly interesting because I understand how on the one perspective, the bank is sort of protecting me as the consumer. But
I don't think if they are protecting you. Okay, they are protecting themselves, and they are making a lot of money out of it.
Okay,
minimum, they are making about close to 500 million on dispute. That's why it's going to be hard for them to actually accept what you're saying. They will just take it, and they will motivate you to continue disputing. So it's actually affecting you more, and they are benefiting out of you.
So, I mean, whenever money is being pulled out of your account as a
dispute, charging you.
How does... Oh, okay, there's a charge.
Yes.
So look, I'd like to engage you on the charge, but the second thing is, here's another second loaded question as my parting shot. How does it now affect investor availability or readiness in your company?
You know, it's not only in my company, all the company that I think I know of is that... If you're going to dispute the money that you're supposed to pay, the balance sheet is not going to balance anymore. You understand? You're going to go to overdue, and then you're going to make arrangement that's, you know, it's everything will just be a mess.
Yeah. Okay.
And thereafter, if it's getting risky in a way that if this continue, I think international investors will start pulling out because they know that South Africa as a country is a very risky country. How can the bank themselves allowing people and motivating them to go and dispute?
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting dialogue.
I think people should be responsible.
I think I'd like us to have a much more in-depth because, I mean, that has a two-way effect on that. But, I mean, on the line, we've got Mr. Vickers. I hope I'm correct. Mr. Vickers from Debt Safe. How are you, sir?
That's correct.
How are you doing today?
I'm well. Bulelani, how are you?
I'm good. Could you just please greet our listeners and tell us who you are and what you do?
Yes, afternoon to the listeners out there and your guests as well.
Afternoon.
I'm from Data, counselor. So we assist over-indebted consumers in terms of the National Credit Act on a daily basis.
Our line is not as good as we'd love for it to be. But I mean, you know, Vickers, I'm calling you Vickers. You know, Vickers, I'm having one of those Wednesdays. You know, Vickers, tell me something. I mean, with regards to debt cancellation, I mean, how big of a problem do we have in terms of debt in this country?
Leilani, indebted consumers, about 48% of credit active consumers find themselves in an over indebted position. And 24 million credit active consumers. So you can think that's a huge number. And I always tell the people who find themselves in a tight spot like that, because you're definitely not alone. You're not the only one.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, how do you see finance houses as playing a role with regards to, you know, these individuals being over indebted?
To financing, I think the National Credit Act amendments of last year addressed some of the affordability assessments and guidelines in place to assist microfinanciers and such to do more in-depth affordability assessments to just actually can afford. Because there's a thing that they call reckless lending, and no credit provider wants to be found guilty of reckless lending. But the whole thing, I think, in the first point, from the financier side, to educate consumers on how to manage their finances and how to draw up a budget before they take out that loan, and then make sure that they can afford it in the first place.
So, I mean, you know, I think to laymen that are out there, I mean, a lot of individuals or friends that I've engaged with, I mean, there's a notion that debt cancellation is debt cancellation. They think that if they come to you, their debts are going to be cancelled. Could you just add some clarity and light with regards to debt cancellation? What is the process? What do you guys do?
Yeah, it's actually not debt cancellation. I think we would be very glad if we can cancel our debt. It's counseling and debt review. So that's what we do.
So I mean, okay.
So just So just as a explanation of what debt review and debt counseling is, it's basically the same thing, but we refer to it as debt review. There's a perception out there that counseling is only for crazy people, but it's you know, we don't need counseling, but it's a restructuring of their debt obligations to bring it in line with what they can afford and negotiate on their behalf with their credit providers, just to make sure that is of such an amount that the consumers still have enough funds available to live, and also to be fair to the credit providers, because we stand in the middle and we need to keep both of the parties' interests at heart.
Yeah. So, Vikas, I mean, you know, I'd really love to engage you a little bit more, but the network is not being fair on us. I mean, I'm really going to ask the guys, the team that I work with, to communicate with you so that we can have you in studio, because, I mean, you come with credible stuff. But, I mean, what are some of the important things or crucial things that you have in your heart with regards to debt management and debt cancellation that you'd like our listeners to know about?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is that when they think, oh, they need to go for debt counseling or ask for assistance to manage their debt. But like I said earlier, there is consumers who are over indebted. So you are not alone in your situation. Rather, speak to a professional, speak to a debt counselor to facilitate some or other engagement with your credit providers. Because credit providers, like your guest also said earlier, they've got payment with your arrears accounts. And if they can't get hold of you, and if you don't pay them, eventually they'll start litigating. So my advice to consumers is to don't wait. Act, be proactive, deal with your debt, be your credit providers, and then seek help before it's too late. Because if they start to litigate, then it becomes difficult to rectify a situation.
Yeah. So no, thank you for that insight, Vikas, but I feel really deprived by the network because we're sitting here in the studio, but we're hearing you in drips and drabs. Would really, really love the opportunity to host you in studio. And thank you for engaging us on the input that you were giving us right now. So we'll be in touch with you so that we can have you in studio. So, I mean, Mr. Mohammed, sir, we're shutting it down. What are normally when we shut it down in style. 30 seconds of inspiration to a young entrepreneur or any individual out there. Or maybe you could even send a straight message to the bank.
Well, okay. I think for people who are starting up with their business, my 30 second will be that first you really need to decide whether this is what you want to do and you want to do it forever. Because if a lot of mistake people do, they start and then they stop and then they say, no, I want to start something else. Because the moment you stop and you start something else, you go to step one again while you're in step three. So you rather continue the journey than not stopping. And you really have to love what you do. You don't do it for money. Money just come.
What inspiration words can you get from an entrepreneur who came across the business, started with 1,500, they are hitting anything between 3.5 and 5 million, they're going to 10? That's a truly inspirational story. I mean, where can people find you?
I think they can find me on my Facebook.
Okay.
It's Mohammed Makanda, or they can find me on my on our website, which is www.makandafinance.co.za, and our office line is 012-343-9511. Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Bongani, your parting shot, words of inspiration to accountants out there or SMMEs like me?
Yeah, they need to understand that they can make it happen. So I'll close with this quote, which says, the best gift in life is the life itself, and the second gift is the ability to choose the direction of our life. So let's embrace change. Let's surround ourselves with people that can help us to change.
So before I put you off and before we shut it down, how do people get a hold of your organization or the Finance Indaba that's going to be taking place?
Finance Indaba, it may be late to register now, but it's taking place in Sandton Convention Center tomorrow and Friday. And if you want to get hold of SAIPA, you can go to www.saipa.co.za. You'll get all the details, whether you want to be an employee that is accredited or you want to be a professional accountant.
Thank you very much to Mr. Vickers as well, who joined us on the line. Thank you, Mohammed, for making time. Thank you, Mr. Bongani, for coming through as well. My parting words to you is go out there, do something about your life. You're an entrepreneur, you're hungry, you're resilient. Let nothing stand in your way and make sure that you always get things done. Thank you for joining us, 360 Biz. We wish you a great week. It's midweek, so make sure that you're pushing sales and you're pushing numbers, because numbers don't lie. And don't play with money. Remember, not math literacy, maths.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.